Gathered around the heavenly throne, the angels cry out, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And we join our voices with theirs this morning. Please be seated. Well, friends, now we all get to join in song. Our hymn is Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Please be seated. Well, friends, good morning. I want to say welcome and thanks for joining us in person here at Scots Church in the heart of beautiful Melbourne. Welcome to those joining us on live stream this morning via YouTube. If you are new to Scots, please take a moment to introduce yourself on the card that you'll find in the welcome pack, or the card might be on your pew if you didn't get one at the door. Fill it in, leave it at the foyer desk, or scan the QR code and leave your information online. We would love to be able to make you welcome and keep you in touch with what's happening at Scots. And as usual, please do join us for refreshments in the Westpac building behind me immediately after the service. A couple of things happening through the week. First up, our regular Tuesday evening small groups. They meet next door to my right, starting with dinner at 6:30 p.m. And we would love to have you along. Then a special event this Wednesday with our fellowship lunch. It starts at 11 a.m. also next door to my right. And our special guest is Reverend Phil Court. Great opportunity to get to hear about his life story, which I can assure you is a fascinating one. Looking further ahead, Sunday, September 1st is our brief social parents lunch. Straight after the service, Arthur has the details of that. Advance notice too for our next Vespers Evensong service, 5:45 p.m. Thursday the 5th of September. It's good if you can get here at 5:30. We would love you, if you're based in the city or work in the city, invite friends along after work. It's low key, it's reflective, with refreshments immediately afterwards. Finally, Justin and Rachel are on leave. Arthur winds up his Proverbs series this morning, which we've all enjoyed. Next week, we are back into the Book of Acts, resuming our series from June. And for those of you who know Rachel Bailey, our short-term American import, you'll be sad to know this is her last day with us after a year. Rachel has thrown herself into the life of Scots, serving in all kinds of ways, and she'll be very much missed. So make sure, if you haven't met her, take the last chance and say goodbye and thank you to her. We're going to join in our next hymn, "You, Lord, Are Both Lamb and Shepherd."
Thank you.
I would invite you to join with me as we pray. Lord God, in our hunger and thirst for the wisdom of righteousness, our hearts are turned this morning to your heavenly throne, where the Lord Jesus lives and reigns with you forever, where those of every nation and tribe and language will one day gather, those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, praising you and saying, blessing and glory and wisdom and power be to our God forever and ever. Father, we thank you that our voices join with that heavenly throng, not because of our own efforts, not because of our striving or our goodness, but simply through having our sins and failures washed clean through the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. Not our faithfulness, but his. Not our righteousness, but his. Not even our own wisdom, but his. And so today we join them and say, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Help us by your Spirit, we pray, to grow in that wisdom of godliness, a wisdom so often unlike the wisdom of this world, a wisdom that finds glory in service, that finds honour in sacrifice, that looks to the cross and sees the coronation of a heavenly king. And Father, gathered now, we pray the words he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. choir. Kids and teens are going to leave us for kids' church now. Your leaders will meet you up the back. They're ready to meet you. Even if you're here for the first time as a younger person, you're very welcome to join in. Also, the regular offering will be collected during the next hymn. If you're visiting, please don't feel obligated. Just be happy to be our guest. We're going to sing our offertory hymn, Lord, Make Us Servants of Your Peace.
Let's join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. God of all power, truth, and grace, we praise and thank you for blessing us with a new day. Loving God, we honor Sunday as the day of Christ's resurrection, when he triumphed over death and rose from the grave. Gracious God, we acknowledge that Sunday is a day of rest, reflection, and spiritual nourishment, a time to seek guidance from the immortal, invisible, God only wise. And help us to seek you, not only on Sunday, but every single day. We are thankful for the promise of your freely given wisdom to those who seek it. We express gratitude for the wisdom and righteousness bestowed upon us through your Son, Jesus, who is the power and wisdom of our living God. We pray that your wisdom shapes our thoughts, our words, and actions daily. Loving God, we are grateful for Arthur Kiefer's teaching series on the book of Proverbs over the past 4 weeks. Today marks the final installment of Arthur's sermon series on Proverbs. Lord God, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds and bless Arthur and all of us with spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your will through the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill us with unwavering faith, unyielding hope, and boundless love to carry out your divine will. Grant us the strength to fully embrace the good news that Jesus Christ lived, died, and was resurrected and ascended so that we can be reconciled to you and enjoy your Son, Jesus, forever. Gracious God, thank you for giving wisdom, provision, protection, unity, and peace to your church on earth and to our ministry team. We are grateful for Senior Minister Phil Campbell and his wife Louise, Arthur Kiever and his wife M.M., and all who serve at Scots. This includes members of the eldership, board of management, trustees, property committees, pastoral care, children's ministry, music, choir, volunteers, and mission committee. Lord God, please help us work together as your children of light and spread the good news of Jesus in our local and church communities, society, and throughout the world. We ask that you would continue to raise up the next generation that would love and serve you and be loyal to your Son Jesus and love and serve one another. And we also pray that our senior assistant minister, Reverend Justin Ang, and his wife Rachel, and have a blessed and relaxing time away. We pray for world peace, O Lord. We pray for an end to wars and armed conflicts in the Middle East, in Ukraine, in Myanmar, and Africa. We also pray for our country, that our federal, state, and council leaders might turn their hearts to you, Lord, and help that Christians would live willingly under our appointed governments. And we pray for your wisdom to be with the state leaders trying to control the escalating youth crimes. And we pray for these young people's families to support efforts to guard and change harmful practices, and for Christians to respond with love and support where possible. Loving God, as congregation, we hold hope for the senior members of our church living in aged care facilities, retirement villages, and at home. We ask for strength, protection, and faith in you. We pray for peace. Loving God, we hold hope for Wayne and Antoine's speedy and complete recovery, for Brian Lowe and Ruth Barth's continued strength as they recover at home, and those who are sick and unwell that we cannot mention. We are thankful for our visitors today and every Sunday, and we are also thankful for those who are joining us via YouTube live streaming. Loving God, that you would bless us and that you would shelter us with your presence. We are grateful for Reverend Garnet and Kirsty Swan from Brisbane, who are worshiping with us today. We pray for blessings on them, their ministry, their family, and especially speedy and full recovery for Garnet. Almighty God, we are grateful for all the blessings you've given us. Please bless our tithes and offerings today. May we continue to give generously for the expansion of your kingdom. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
This morning's first Bible reading is taken from the Old Testament book of the Proverbs. There are two selections. The first one is from Proverbs chapter 30, verses 1 to 4, and then chapter 31, verses 10 to 31. You can follow along in your order of service. This is the wisdom of Agur. The words of Agur, son of Yakeh, the oracle. The man declares, I am weary, O God. I am weary, O God, and worn out. Surely I am too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom. I'll say that again. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has wrapped up the waters in a garment? who has established all the ends of the earth. What is his name, and what is his son's name? Then we turn to chapter 31 and beginning at verse 10, and this is in contradistinction. This is the virtuous wife. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of a husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Amen.
Thank you.
Our second Bible reading this morning is taken from the New Testament book of the Revelation, chapter 7 and verses 9 to 15. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and honour and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be to our God forever and ever." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence." Amen, amen, and thanks be to God.
Very good morning. Let us pray. Lord, show us great things in your word for our good and for your glory. Amen. Over the course of these past few weeks, with all this talk about Proverbs, maybe you've decided that you want wisdom. Maybe you've started to seek it out, even grow in wisdom and insight. Maybe you've memorized a few Proverbs, called to mind some of the book's advice, even put it into practice. Maybe you spoke up when you should have spoken up. Maybe you've calmed certain emotions at the right time. Maybe you've wrestled with the God who gives wisdom, the only wise God. Now, I'd say any of that's great news. That's really fantastic. From my perspective, any of the above is a win, and I hope it stays that way. That wisdom remains something that you want and that you get from God. That the art of living is something you take thoughtfully and seriously. As for sermons on the book of Proverbs, well, they've got to end sometimes, even if you keep on pursuing wisdom, which you should, and I hope you do. So I'm going to try this morning to conclude the book and bring some closure to our little series on Proverbs. The reading this morning came from Proverbs chapter 30 and 31, the final two chapters of the book. After that long collection of wise sayings, we return to poetry. A poem from this man named Augur, son of Yake, and a poem about an excellent wife. Both give us glimpses into what happens on the journey of wisdom, two places we can actually, and at times probably will, end up in that journey. One's actually a low point of wisdom, and the other's a high point. I'd like to begin with the low point first, and we're going to look at that passage, that first passage, step by step, almost verse by verse, and then after that, for the high point, we're going to move all around the Bible. Proverbs chapter 30, have a look at the first three verses there. The words of Augur, son of Yake, the oracle. The man declares, "I am weary, O God, I'm weary and I'm worn out. Surely I'm too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I the knowledge of the Holy One." This man, Augur, we have no idea who he is, nor do we know who his father, Yake, is. They could be fictional figures, they could be historical people. What we do know is that Augur's voice is here to make a point, and the point that he wants to make is that he's at a low point. I'm weary, God, I'm weary and worn out. Augur is experiencing burnout, we could say. It's remarkable here because most wise men like him, introduced in a wisdom text like this, are elevating their wisdom. They give credentials. They state their wise status, their achievements and experiences in learning. That's why Proverbs began with Solomon, king of Israel, back in the first chapter. But Augur is the complete opposite. Have a look at verses 2 and 3. Surely, I'm too stupid to be a man. I don't have the understanding of a man or a human. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One. Wisdom is the pinnacle of human living. It's the art of living well. And Augur is saying, I'm not there. In fact, I'm feeling subhuman. That word for stupid, I'm too stupid to be a man, it means something kind of beast-like. I'm like an animal, he's saying. The psalmist at one point says, I was too brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you, God. This is Augur's current state of being. Apparently 61% of Australian workers report that they've experienced burnout. The global trend is around 50%. Here's what to look for. Decreased satisfaction or sense of accomplishment. Feeling isolated or disengaged from work. Struggling to enjoy activities that are normally enjoyable. Becoming upset or tearful on the job. Fatigue, lack of energy, exhaustion, feeling drained. Physical symptoms such as headaches, stomach aches, intestinal issues or illness. Making little errors or lapses in judgment or not performing to their usual standards. Being late to work, taking longer breaks or work avoidance. An increasingly negative or cynical outlook. Burnout is the struggle, even the failure to live well. Motivation, a sense of purpose, satisfaction, physical health, a positive attitude. They've all come to a low point. It's kind of like the shuttle is not taking off. The planes are all grounded. We're not going to get very far today if we're in a state like that. We don't know what exactly has gone wrong for Augur. The details of his failure, his burnout, his low point. But there is a clue here in the text that clears things up. And to find that answer, we'll need to do a little bit of a word search. Surely I'm too stupid to be a man. I don't have the understanding of a man. I haven't learned wisdom. I don't have knowledge of the Holy One. Notice those three words. What doesn't Augur have? Understanding, wisdom, knowledge. And do you know where those exact three words show up? They show up at the very beginning of the book of Proverbs. Have a look there on the screen. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of understanding. It's the same word for insight. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Augur is exasperated because he's failed, or at least he feels he's failed, in the school of wisdom. He hasn't achieved the educational goals of the book. The whole book's geared towards growing in wisdom, getting knowledge, building up insight. And Augur says, I haven't done it. I feel like a failure. So where does he go? Where does he go from his low point? Well, he goes up. Have a look at verse 4. Who has ascended, he asks. Who's ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who's wrapped up the waters in a garment? Who's established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? Surely you know. Surely someone can tell me, he's saying. It's at his low point that Augur reaches up for God. Who's ascended to heaven and come down? Who's gathered the wind in his fist? The answer for Augur would have been no one, no human has done that in his day at least. It's a divine prerogative, something God can do. Now we know that's not the end of the story. Someone has come to bridge the gap, to mediate between the divine and human realms, and we'll get to him, but let's stick with Augur for a moment. The rest of this passage, verses 5 to 9, Augur finds solace in God. Every word of God is true, and his word is sufficient, so don't add to it. These are the things he says afterwards. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. Augur then prays two things to God. He says, don't give me too much or too little, lest I be tempted to do wrong. He prays for contentment. I think it's a version of that line from the Lord's Prayer. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Don't lead me into a test of faith. Keep me content, trusting in you, satisfied with what you said to me. The journey toward wisdom may bring us to low points, but God meets us at those very points. His word is good, that's not the problem. He protects those who go to him for safety, and he lifts up the head of the downcast, even those downcast in wisdom. If Augur in chapter 31 is the low point, if Augur in chapter 30 is the low point, then chapter 31, the final chapter of Proverbs, is the high point of wisdom. We had a long reading from that chapter, starting in verse 10, an excellent wife who can find. This final poem has over 20 verses describing the excellent wife. In different Bible translations, you'll find all types of words for her. The wife of noble character. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? A virtuous woman. I've heard people call her the P31 woman for short, Proverbs 31. Something for young women to aspire to. Something for young men to seek in a spouse. I'm not going to go down that path today, because this woman is first and foremost the high point of wisdom. She's the full embodiment, the fulfillment of what it means to be wise. Think, at the start of Proverbs, we get this young man in danger of being wayward, beginning on his journey of wisdom. And at the end of the book, we have this mature woman who's achieved it all. Let me speed through a few texts to sum up what kind of woman this is. The first thing to note is that she has immense value to those around her. She's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he's going to have no lack of gain. Second, she's very active. She's service-oriented. Have a look at verse 15. She rises while it's still night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. Finally, she gets recognition for all of this. This is verses 28 to 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all, he says. Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales, was at Wimbledon this year, not too long ago. As some of you will know, she had a difficult year of health, a cancer diagnosis. Of course, when she's back in the public, the media jumps on this. Body language experts, fashion people. And they say she's back in action. One report says Kate's still at the top of her game. She arrived projecting signals of confidence and upbeat authority. No signs of inner nervousness or anxiety. The top of her game. This is a way of describing high points in life. Never been better. She's going places. He's at his peak. Maximum performance. But there's a danger here that we probably all know well. At the high point in life, even the high point of wisdom, we can forget about God. In the book of Deuteronomy, I warned you we're going to move around the Bible a bit. The book of Deuteronomy is preparing people for how to live their new life in the land of Israel. It's Moses' final speech or sermon. And God gives them a warning. He says this. He says, be careful, lest when you have eaten and are full, and when you've built good houses, and when you live in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have increases, then your heart is lifted up, and you forget about the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Beware, he says, lest you say in your heart, here's the key line, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. The message here is that if we go to God at the low points of life, sometimes easier to go to God in the low points of life, we also need to go to him at the high points. Have a look at the final verses of Proverbs. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Proverbs won't let us forget about the true source of wisdom, the thing that deserves ultimate credit, and it's God himself. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It's from God that we get our value. It's God who enables us to serve others with wisdom. And it's his work through us that deserves recognition. So, what do we do at the high points of life? We point up further still. I'd like to go back to our word search one more time. Because those three words, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, they don't just show up in Proverbs. They show up in one more place in the Old Testament. And that's Isaiah chapter 11, very beginning of that chapter. The prophet says, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Who is this? Who's the shoot from the stump of Jesse, upon whom the Spirit of the Lord shall rest with wisdom and with knowledge and with understanding? That's the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom belongs all wisdom, all knowledge, and all understanding. He's called the very wisdom of God. In him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. He traversed heaven and earth. He's the person who's gone up so that he could come down. If we want to talk about a high point or the fulfillment of wisdom, then let's talk about Jesus Christ. We need to make one more jump in our Bibles. To the very end. We've been in Proverbs, we've been in Deuteronomy, we've been in Isaiah. So let's make one final move to the book of Revelation. This morning's second reading in chapter 7. It's a scene of worship. An innumerable number of people from all nations are standing around the throne of the risen and exalted Jesus Christ. They're calling out, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Jesus is called a Lamb here because his life was a sacrifice for humankind. It's an identity he takes on in that book particularly. He's fixed a situation that no one else could fix, and he did so for you and me. Now, among all those people worshiping Jesus, there are angels as well, and they're saying this, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. This is not a high point of wisdom. This is the highest point of wisdom. Wisdom belongs to the exalted Jesus. And the wise woman in Proverbs 31, like her, the highest point is again a person. But even there, at this highest point, portrayed in the book of Revelation, we see a low point as well. It's not Jesus. He's been lowly already during his life on earth, and that work is finished. He's not coming in the form of a servant to be subjected to suffer for anyone anymore. That's finished. Jesus is exalted now, and he's going to remain so forever. The low point comes from those worshiping Jesus. The people gathered around his throne, these are the ones we're told that have come out of a great tribulation. Christians were under pressure because of their faith. Big earthly powers were like a great weight on these early Christian communities. And And these people needed encouragement to endure to the end, to endure in their commitment to Christ. What they needed was victory in the struggle. The book of Revelation is, in a way, all about victory. It's one of the key terms, actually, and everyone knows it. Nike or Nike, Nikao, it's all victory. It's about being victorious, and what that looks like is enduring and a commitment to Jesus Christ. But the book of Revelation points to a victorious Jesus. And that's what you get some mighty and frightening pictures of Jesus Christ throughout the book of Revelation. A powerful Jesus, a Jesus full of wisdom and glory and might. These people gathered around the throne of God who are praising the Lamb, they've experienced his comfort and encouragement at their low point. And so we're told this: they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This wise God is a God who serves. This is my final thing to say today. Just like the woman in Proverbs 31 expresses her wisdom through service to family and community. Did you notice that? All the stuff she's doing. She has value, yes. She gets recognition, yes. But the fear of the Lord in her is expressed through all these wonderful acts of service. And in the same way, Jesus, as the pinnacle of wisdom, expresses it in service to his people. He nourishes, protects, guides them on the path of life. That is what an all-wise God does with his wisdom. And that is where wisdom can and should take us in the end. Let us pray. Lord, let us see the wise and exalted Jesus Christ for who he is, that we might reach out at our low points and even at our high points to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our next hymn is by that great author, John Bunyan. Who would true valor see? Let us sing.
Thank you. Receive the blessing of our Lord. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.